Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that share Mazda's passion that cars make driving matter. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. In the summer of 2017, Clayton Wilcox was a few weeks into his tenure as Charlotte-Mecklenburg school superintendent and was readying for his first school year here when he made his first appearance on this program.
For the past 15 or 20 years, I've actually been looking at Charlotte from afar, and that lens has always been really a very clear lens and a lens that kind of shined a light on a school system that was getting it right.
Wilcox arrived at a time when the school system was burning through superintendents. He was the fifth person in a decade to hold the job. Here he is again in that August 2017 Charlotte Talks interview.
It's a job that is somewhat unforgiving. If you make a decision that impacts one group in a disparate way or in a way that they perceive diminishes them in some way, then oftentimes the political powers begin to move and people are either forced to leave or they choose to leave.
And that is the position Wilcox himself is now in. Last Monday, Wilcox was suspended with pay for reasons the school board did not give. Then on Friday, the board announced Wilcox was resigning, effective August 2nd. And the board was still mum about the circumstances behind Wilcox's exit. Here's board chair Mary McCray.
This board wants to keep you informed of everything we do as we conduct our business. But the law is crystal clear on this, and this board, we are bound by following the law. Every employee should have confidence that this board will honor and protect each and every employee's legal rights to privacy. We're going to do this even if it means bad PR for the nine of us.
Beyond the why of the suspension and resignation, there are many more questions. What will yet another superintendent vacancy mean for the school system? What becomes of Wilcox's initiatives to close equity gaps? What is it about CMS that's causing this turnover at the top? And what are parents, teachers, students, and taxpayers and voters to make of it? We spend this hour examining those questions and more, and we start by spending the next few minutes with Elise Dashew. She is vice chair of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School Board, and she joins us by phone. Thank you for being here.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. 6 months ago, the school board decided that Wilcox was their guy. They offered him a two-year extension on his contract and a raise. Why and when did this sudden change of heart present itself?
Well, certainly, I was one of nine board members that supported that 6 months ago, and we learned of some things since then that made us realize that we needed to suspend him this week, and as you stated very well in your intro right there, we announced his suspension this past week on Monday. On Friday, he offered his resignation, and we accepted it with no additional money being paid out. Would love to be able to talk more about the personnel details, and have had a lot of conversations in the past few days with community members who've been expressing a desire to know, and that it's just a difficult situation where we absolutely have to abide by the law. The North Carolina General Assembly has very clear statutes on personnel privacy. And, when I was elected and my other eight colleagues on the board were elected, we swore an oath to abide by the law. We have 19,000 employees that we serve, and we do need to protect their personnel confidentiality.
But under state law, dismissals, demotions, or suspensions of government employees are considered public information. Why isn't this?
Well, the state law, so the state law allows us to and requires us to, take any actions in public. So that is why, we accepted his resignation in a public letter. And
was his resignation his idea?
So We have shared everything that we can share publicly. We've shared his contract, and we've shared the terms of his resignation.
Well, his original 2-year contract calls for him to be compensated for 2 additional years if he is fired even for cause. Did the contract extension stipulate that?
Well, that's actually if he were fired for if he were terminated for convenience, then that his contract required for it required additional pay. If he's terminated for cause, then it does not.
So there was cause.
Yes.
And his resignation was his idea.
He offered his resignation and we accepted it. And I wanted to talk a little bit more about this integrity clause in the statute. There's been some discussion amongst some media outlets and in the community about an integrity clause that allows districts to release personnel information in certain very specific situations. And I just wanted to clarify about that, that the only way, there's a very high bar for where school districts can release confidential personnel information, and it is only if an employee spreads misinformation about board actions. So if that in that case, you could release the information that would clear up the misinformation. But without reaching that bar, employee privacy is sort of the top priority in this state. And that happens very, very rarely. We were speaking with Allison Schaefer this week. She's the legal counsel for the North Carolina School Board Association. She has stated that in her 40 years of representing school districts, she's only seen, I think, 1 or 2 times where this has been used. So that's sort of an extraordinary situation. So the main, I mean, we're sharing everything that we can. And the main point, the main questions that I'm hearing from parents at this point is school going to be ready to open on time? Are we moving forward with the equity work? Are we moving forward with the strategic plan? And the answer to that all is yes, full steam ahead. We're in very capable hands with Acting Superintendent Ernest Winston, and I'm glad you got him on the show today. He can answer all of your questions about where the district is today and where we will be when schools
open. So let's talk about personnel, because I've got him to talk about that. Let's talk about personnel issues. What constitutes a personnel issue that makes it forbidden for you to tell us things about that person when they are terminated or they resign? What kinds of things fall under that?
It's just anything, you know, a superintendent personnel evaluation, that would be confidential. If there are any, you know, reprimand or, you know, coaching, that sort of thing is all confidential.
So if somebody does, if an employee does something that is policy related, you don't want to let that information out. If that's detrimental to their status as an employee, you don't want to let that out. But if they do something that endangers a student or lessens the security or the effectiveness of a child's education, that falls under personnel statutes as well?
Well, if anything were, if anything is involves the criminal justice system, then that is public. But we're not dealing with anything like that here.
I mean, this is troubling not because this is the first time this has happened. It's troubling because this is the second time in a row that this has happened. It happened several years ago when Heath Morrison, who was a darling of the school system, suddenly was not a darling of the school system. And the same thing exactly has happened again. Taxpayers fund the schools. They pay the superintendent's salary. Why don't we have a right to know information where things change like that? Something happened.
As far as the right to know, why you don't have a right to know, I think that is a question for the legislators who wrote the legislation many, many years ago. So we have to abide by the law.
Gwendolyn Glenn, who is our education reporter here at WFAE, is sitting here at the table, and she wants to ask you a question. Gwendolyn, go ahead.
Good morning. You said initially that you supported the extended contract and the raise 6 months ago, and then something happened. Can you at least tell us how did whatever happened come to you and the board, and you know what were the circumstances around it? Was it something someone called and told you about, or how did you how did you come about that?
Gwendolyn, I appreciate your asking that question and you're wanting to know that, but I cannot answer those questions.
So the focus
now really needs to be, are we in good hands right now? And we are. And moving ahead.
I think people might disagree with that. I mean, this is the second time this has happened. Do you folks, when you interview potential candidates for this job, what kind of vetting procedure do they go through? How can this happen twice in a row?
We vetted the superintendent carefully. He had a phenomenal resume. Interviewed very well, and clearly this decision was not made cavalierly. I don't think there are any 9 people in Mecklenburg County who more badly wanted this to work and not to have to go through this again.
Mary McRae said that the board would continue to protect employees' legal rights to privacy in that piece of tape that I played earlier, even if it means bad PR for the 9 of us, the 9 of you being the school board members. Are you on board with that decision, or would you really like to be able to talk about this?
I certainly wish that we could talk about this, because I believe in being as transparent as possible, and I don't personally like the heat that we're in. This is a very hard job. I will say serving on the school board is the hardest job that I have ever had. And at the same time, it is the most impactful work that I've ever been blessed to do. And I will keep on doing it, even though it is hard. And even though we sometimes get into situations where it's just sort of a no-win situation for us as individuals. But what's most important is that we follow the law and that we protect our employees' privacy. I think every single one of our employees would want us to do this. And it is what it is. I love the 148,000 children of this district, and my focus is on doing what is right by them. And that's what I'm going to do. And
six of the 9 people on the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School Board were on the school board when Clayton Wilcox was interviewed and chosen to be the superintendent. Given the fact that this is the second time this has happened, it seems to call into question the competency and or the integrity of the board. Should the 6 of you resign?
I have no question about the competency of my colleagues, nor the integrity of my colleagues. And no, absolutely.
So what would you tell, I have 30 seconds. What would you say to parents, teachers, students, taxpayers about this latest exit? And what do you think you can do to regain credibility? And I have 20 seconds.
So As Ernest, we're going to hand the baton off to Ernest Winston for the rest of your show, and he can tell you about how all the initiatives that will continue, that were developed by the board together with a powerful leadership team within CMS.
And with that, I have to let you go. At least ask you, thank you for joining us, Vice Chair of the CMS School Board. I'm Mike Collins. WFAE Charlotte Talks is hosting a public conversation to explore what can be done about the city's rising number of homicides. Only halfway through the year, Charlotte has already surpassed 2018's total. CMPD says this problem can't be law enforcement's alone to address, and they need your help. We examine the factors behind our homicide problem and what community leaders are doing to find solutions. Join us Tuesday, July 30th at Friendship Missionary Baptist Church at 7:30 for this important conversation. More at WFAE.org. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. There are myriad aspects to what the resignation of CMS Superintendent Clayton Wilcox means to students, teachers, parents, and the system's reputation here and around the nation. And here to dissect that is Ross Dennis, president of MECED, that organization, and Mr. Dennis helped with the search in 2016 that brought Clayton Wilcox to Charlotte. They advocate for public schools in Mecklenburg County. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Gwendolyn Glenn has already made herself known. She's WFAE's education reporter. She's here along with Dedrick Russell, who serves in the same capacity for WBTV News. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too, sir.
And we're also joined by the acting superintendent of Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools, named last week to that position, Ernest Wilson. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mike.
Good morning. If you'd like to join us, you can do so by email at charlottetalks@wfae.org. Search for WFAE on Facebook. Get to us through Twitter at Charlotte Talks. When did the two of you as reporters get wind that something was not well with Clayton Wilcox and the board?
I said it was very early, or probably late Thursday night when we started hearing that there was something going on in terms of the superintendent, and that a meeting was scheduled for the next Andos Helms, who will be coming on board with us, played a big role in this in terms of hearing about that the meeting was going to happen and that he was going to be either suspended or something was going to be happening.
Complete surprise, or did this confirm inklings that you perhaps have as people who cover this every day, Dedrick?
Well, I guess back in June 5th, the school board had a meeting, evaluation meeting of the superintendent, and we were there, and that was a very long meeting, and so I would say that something started percolating, that something was about to go down, as they would say.
Is it normal to give somebody a raise in January and extend their contract in January and then reevaluate them in June?
Well, as
is that normal?
Well, as Elise Dashew pointed out, I guess they did not know all the information that they needed to know in order. So I'm hearing that, you know, things came to light at the end of April, where things were not going as the way they should.
So just prior to this all starting, this process all starting, where they met with him and they suspended him with pay, Clayton Wilcox posted a reflective message on Facebook, a post that has since been taken down, I believe, in which he listed all of the accomplishments that have taken place during his tenure, and he ended by saying, quote, "I am perhaps the most blessed superintendent in the country today. I am surrounded by great talent, an engaged community, and local leaders who understand that the greatest economic tool to recruit the businesses of the 21st century and create the community we all desire is a great school system." Does that sound like the musings of someone who was aware he was on the chopping block, or is this a last-ditch pitch to the board to make it more difficult to do what they ultimately did?
And I guess when a lot of people saw that, it had people scratching their heads, especially those who had no idea that this meeting was going to be coming up, you know, wondering, well, why is he putting all of this out here now? And kind of nobody really understood, but it had people wondering. So I would say after that happened, and then after the meeting with the board members in which he was suspended, some people were like, aha. So
you've been covering schools for how long, Dedrick?
I would say probably like 15 years.
Yeah, a long time. Why do we seem to have such great turnover? I know that the life expectancy of a school superintendent is not long in any district around the country. But do they leave normally on their own because they get a better offer? Or do they leave because of dissatisfaction with the board or because of some political ramifications of interactions between local politics and education? Why do they mostly leave? And do we have higher than average turnover when it comes to people being forced out?
Well, I think this is probably happening across the nation. I guess, as you said, that the life expectancy is around 3 years for a superintendent. But you have to, in covering CMS is a very unique, special beast when it comes to the education system. Because you have everybody, not all school districts have the attention from the media that Charlotte-Mecklenburg does.
I have to say that I've never worked in a city where we talk about education more.
Exactly. So therefore, the leader has to be on his or her toes, you know, because you have to please not only nine bosses, but you also have to answer to the community. You have a community who is passionate around education. So therefore, you know, you have to be in order and you have to be able to answer to all those people at the same time and do it well and do it effectively.
Ross Danis is here. He's the president of MECED. He was a part of the selection process for Clayton Wilcox when he came. And you've said, I think you said this last week, Mr. Danis, that this came out of the blue, or it seemed to come out of the blue. He was popular with teachers, we believe. I think he was popular with parents. He seemed to be well-liked, doing a good job. Would that be an accurate assessment?
Well, if it's okay, I wanted to respond to something that Dedrick just said and you were talking about. There are three main groups primarily responsible for superintendents departing districts. One are mayors. Around the country, there are cities that have mayoral control, and sometimes there's an election and mm-hmm. politics change, like in Washington, D.C., and the superintendent is fired. In other parts of the country, there are strong labor unions, like in the Northeast, where labor unions are upset with some of the changes the superintendent's making, and they push that person out. The only other group that's responsible are boards of education. And since we don't have a strong labor union here in Charlotte, we don't have mayoral control, it leads us to surmise that it's primarily the Board of Education who's responsible for both hiring and firing.
So let's talk about them. How would you assess their performance, their abilities, the way they conduct business and the way they hire and fire?
Yeah, it's a thankless job. We know that, and it's a hard job, and I don't question anyone's integrity. It does call into focus this notion of having two-year superintendents. When we did the community engagement piece in September of 2016, we did 14 community forums. And in addition to people saying we want somebody who's decent and honest and fair, we heard people talk about Heath Morrison. And I was relatively new to Charlotte at the time, and I can't tell you how many times people quoted him in those community forums, wondering why, you know, what happened to him. So here we are, you know, deja vu. I don't know what to say. I know that, you know, it could be worse. It could be Chicago. There's seven superintendents in the last 10 years. We don't want to be Chicago. I think it has consequences, no matter what happens.
Well, this will be six in 10.
Yeah.
So we're right behind them.
There you go.
Okay. Ernest Winston is here. Mr. Winston is the acting superintendent. You are in an unenviable position today. Do you want this job? Is this something you're taking on because they asked you to, or do you want to do this job right now?
Well, Mike, thank you for having me. First of all, it is great to be on your show. I serve at the pleasure of the board. So for as long as the board will have me and I have a desire and I feel that I can make a tremendous impact in serving all kids in this community, then I stand ready and willing to serve at the pleasure of the board.
Is it your intent, is it the board's intent that most or all of the initiatives that Clayton Wilcox was putting forward and may be in the process of implementing or continuing to run, that these will continue, or are there programs that you think will now be on the chopping block?
Well, so let me say, first of all, we have a very strong strategic plan. What matters most is what it's called, and we're going to work our plan. But this was never meant to be a static plan that sits on the shelf and collects dust. We will routinely evaluate this plan to figure out if changes need to be made. And so if they do, we will tweak it as we see fit. But we have a strong plan in place and we're moving forward with that plan.
Did you know about this before Mr. Wilcox knew about it?
Be specific, Mike.
His suspension and ultimate resignation, did you know that they were coming for him? Usually, if you're going to take the guy out at the top, his replacement has already been talked to.
Well, here's what I will say. I was aware that obviously with board closed session meetings, you know, I think you would be naive not to think that something was on the horizon. I did not know the specifics of what that looked like. But I think many of us in the community and in the district were aware that with the closed session meetings that something did not know exactly what that looked like.
We've been told that he was popular with teachers. He certainly supported teachers. He gave them time to go to Raleigh in March 2 years in a row. Would you have supported teachers in that fashion? Do you anticipate doing so during your tenure?
As a former classroom teacher at the high school level, I absolutely unequivocally support teachers. They are one of our most important assets in this district. I can think of no better important, more important relationship than between a teacher and a child. And so absolutely I support teachers.
Well, Mr. Danis, we keep hearing that CMS has a great national reputation for educational excellence. We keep hearing that from superintendents who come and go. We hear it from other people who come in to talk about education in Charlotte-Mecklenburg from time to time. But this series of mysterious superintendent exits is also part of that reputation. Do we look dysfunctional to people in education in the rest of the country as a result of this?
I think it's too early to tell whether we look dysfunctional. I will say that
We dysfunctional?
There are consequences for decisions like this. Mm-hmm. One is, and some of them may seem small, but right now I'm sure there are funders considering funding programs in CMS that are on the fence. There may also be leadership issues around top-level leaders who are on the fence about whether to come to this district. There are people who may have been resistant to new reforms and in the light of the controversy will use it as an excuse to actually stall those reforms. Maybe it's a small percentage, but it's still a possibility.
Prior to your appointment as acting superintendent, Mr. Winston, you were the district's chief of community engagement and the system's ombudsman. What does the ombudsman do for Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools?
Absolutely, and you're not uncommon in that regard, Mike. There are many people have some challenges pronouncing the word, but it's an extremely important position. The ombudsman's office is responsible for working with our family members, our staff, and community members, and when issues arise, we first, as an ombudsman's office, they are responsible for listening because oftentimes they feel like when they've gotten to this point, they have not been heard. So that's the first and most important step is to listen, to make sure that you have a clear understanding of what the concern or issue might be. It may be a question, but we also help with resolving issues and then also helping families navigate this district.
So I looked it up. What an ombudsman does in the abstract, in great generalities, and it says it's the job of an ombudsman to investigate individual complaints and to look into maladministration. That would not necessarily include any complaints about the superintendent, or would it?
It could certainly involve complaints or concerns.
Have you dealt with
questions
that?
About that?
Have you dealt with that with regard to Clayton Wilcox?
I have not.
One thing I was going to ask you, when you were appointed, there were some questions raised because you, as opposed to answering to the board, you answered to Wilcox, and there were some who questioned whether or not how objective you could be if issues came up regarding the superintendent. Is that something you would, if you keep this position, look at continuing having the ombudsman report to the superintendent as opposed to the board?
Great question, Gwen. What I will tell you is that there are a variety of different structures across the country when it comes to K-12 ombudsmen. We have some ombudsmen who report to the communications office, some report to the chief of staff. They report to a variety of different people. We have the structure in place that we have, but in the spirit of continuous improvement, we're always looking at how can we get better. So I would certainly say that, as well as any other aspect of our operation in the district, is worth looking at if we can improve.
I know I'm going to get a rosy answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What impact, because school starts in just a matter of weeks, what impact, if any, will this have on students, on parents, on teachers, on the way the system runs, on the uncertainty that teachers have to handle on top of all the other things they have to handle?
Absolutely, and I will try not to give you a rosy answer, Mike. I'm going to give you a straightforward answer. Schools start in exactly 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. We are continuing to forge ahead. There will be, has not been, an interruption in the services that we provide. Our teachers, our principals, our building services staff are working hard every day to make sure that schools are prepared when they open on August the 26th. And we have no doubt that we're going to have a successful opening of schools because we're preparing for that. That has not stopped. I think contrary to popular opinion, if you will, CMS is still open for business. We are a stable school district. I've had the fortune of working here for 15 years, first as a classroom teacher and most recently as a chief engagement officer, prior to that as chief of staff. So I've had an opportunity to work with some really good leaders, and we have a strong team in place.
And you've seen turnover in the superintendent's job in 15 years many times. So talk to me about what that turnover does to somebody below the level of superintendent. What added stressors? What added uncertainties? What happens in those situations where a new person comes in and suddenly, and this is happening as I keep snapping my fingers like that, what does that do to you as a lower level employee, as a teacher, a classroom teacher?
Well, I would say that it has the ability to create uncertainty. It could. That's certainly the potential is there for that. But what I will tell you is that since day one, when I was named acting superintendent, I have been meeting with the employees across our district. I've been meeting with our funding partners, members of our community, our parents, and I have tried to reassure them that we have a plan in place, and we're going to work our plan, and we're confident we will not skip a beat.
As our commentator, Tommy Tomlinson, here on WFAE pointed out this morning, we still don't know why Heath Morrison was let go, and we probably never will, and we probably will never know why Clayton Wilcox was let go. We are told through reporting that, and this came as a complete surprise at the time, that with Mr. Morrison, the problem was that he was occasionally abusive to people who he had to come into contact with. I don't know whether that's true or not, but that would indicate to me there were people who were happy to see him go. Are there going to be people happy that Wilcox is no longer here?
Well, I cannot speak to that. What I am focused on is moving forward, stabilizing.
But everybody's focused on moving forward. And in these instances, it seems to me to be really bad public relations to just focus on moving forward. People have a need. I think it's a need, not just a right. It's a need to know what's going on over there. What the hell is going on over there?
Well, Mike, to that, I will leave that dialogue to our board members because that's in their area of responsibility. My focus is to make sure that schools open on time, that we have a driver on every bus and a teacher in every classroom when schools open.
We have to take a break. We'll come back with more with our current acting superintendent of CMS, Ernest Winston. Dedrick Russell's here.
Thank you, Mike.
TV. You're welcome.
Congratulations, Dedrick.
Again. We're coming right back. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to those who believe a car should stir one's emotions and deliver a heightened state of driving. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the departure of Clayton Wilcox as of August the 3rd. He has resigned. He's no longer in charge of the school system, even now, even though he's still there. Ernest Winston is. He's the acting superintendent of Charlotte CMS. He's with us. Ross Dennis is here. He's the president of MECED, an organization that promotes public education in Mecklenburg County. Gwendolyn Glenn and Dedrick Russell are both education reporters. Gwendolyn for WFAE and Dedrick for WBTV News. Dedrick, both Mary McRae, Elise Dashew, and now school board member Rhonda Cheek have said that they're keeping the reasons for this action private because they're upholding the law. In a tweet, Cheek wrote, "We each took an oath to uphold the law when we joined the school board. There are legal statutes that tell us how we treat employee personnel records. It's our sworn duty to uphold those statutes." And she says that those who believe that the law allows them to release this information are misinterpreting it. Has WBTV or legal people at WBTV taken a look at these statutes and determined that that is an accurate assessment of those statutes?
I believe that right now we had one of our reporters, anchors, bring that discussion up in a Friday email. So I believe that that is something that we will look at to see exactly what can and cannot be released.
I mean, Rhonda Cheek has said that the school board obviously has its own attorneys, but they sought the advice of an outside attorney to determine what the law actually said. Why? Why would you need to seek the advice of an outside attorney?
Well, I guess we have to talk to the school board about that, but I guess that they want to make sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed and make sure that whatever they come up with, that it can withstand the law. So I guess it's always good. I guess as educators, you always want to get an outside perspective to see exactly that you're doing everything, and you need that outside perspective to be that agitator to challenge you. So I don't know exactly what went all into the board with their outside firm or whatever, but I'm pretty sure that that firm challenged them and said that if someone asks you this, this is how you should respond, because they did hire a PR firm to go through all of those scenarios, so to make sure that everything is buttoned up.
Well, I was going to get to that. Okay. So let's talk about that PR firm. It's Ketchum. This is a firm that helped Penn State handle the fallout from the Jerry Sandusky scandal. It's the firm that Malaysia Airlines hired when their plane disappeared from the sky a couple of years ago and is still yet to be found. That sounds like, now, I'm just a guy, but that sounds like a pretty high profile firm to be hiring for little penny ante stuff like this. Is it, or am I just misreading this? But they only paid him $30,000.
Right, so that was a deal.
It was a deal.
That was a deal.
Yes, so why do you turn to that big high-profile firm unless this is something really big?
Well, I am told that they went outside because I guess it was they did not want to use CMS's chief communications department because this was an issue between the board and superintendent.
Yeah.
So therefore, it would be kind of uncomfortable maybe for the people who the superintendent has appointed to be the chief communications department to cover something.
But there are local PR firms that.
Well, I guess they may wanted to keep it quiet or whatever. I don't know what the reasonings are, but I guess that they thought they did their due diligence to figure out what they could do to make sure that when everything comes out in the open, that everything would be right.
So, and again, questions asked about that were not answered.
Okay. Ross Danis is president of MECED. You were on the committee that helped to find and talk to and interview and, I guess, vet, although that the final responsibility for that rests on the school board shoulders, but you were involved in the Clayton Wilcox situation.
Engagement portion.
So when the board interviewed Clayton Wilcox and the other candidates for the job last time, they did so in complete secrecy. This is something evidently that is happening around the country with greater frequency, and they say it's because there's a finite pool of superintendent candidates out there, and if you're looking for a superintendent job, you probably already have one, and they don't want their current employers to know that they're looking until they're at least a finalist or beyond. So even when he was a finalist, he wasn't paraded around as previous candidates have been. He didn't go to the Bank of America and talk to the head of the Bank of America. He didn't come to community forums and talk to members of the community. When you're down to the top three or five candidates, because we're about to go through this again, when you're down to the top three or five candidates, shouldn't those people be available to the public to meet, greet, and get an impression of? Shouldn't they be available to the teachers, et cetera?
Yeah, there are 14,000 school districts in the United States, and there are over 1,900 superintendent openings right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, these positions get filled, particularly in big city districts, by people whose names most of us in education know. No, actually, we do know.
Oh, we do? Okay.
No, there's probably a dozen names of people who moved from Louisiana to, you know, Connecticut, and then they end up in Dallas. It's a dance that takes place over and over and over again in our country. And there are certain well-known names, you know, among those big city superintendents. You know, in this particular, I can understand why they wouldn't want to take this public, but I err on the side of the community. I think there's something to be said for hearing from a potential candidate, meeting with those people, because
it could be argued that the school system in any city, the public school system, is among the most important assets that the city has. Why would choosing the candidate to lead that asset be done in secrecy? That seems to be morally reprehensible to me.
I imagine that the sheer act of just putting the person in front of the community a couple of times actually spreads out the decision so that at some point the community is a part of that decision. They own it as much as the school board. But when that doesn't take place, it's only the school board.
I know you can't speak for the school board, Eric Winston, but...
Ernest, Mike.
Ernest, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a previous superintendent. Do you think this should be a process that's in public, done in public at some point?
I will leave that up to the board. What I will tell you that for me, there's no greater honor than to have the confidence of the Board of Education to lead CMS during this period of transition.
You've worked for the school system as a teacher and in various other capacities for years now. I think 15 years is what you said. Is that right?
That is correct.
Prior to that, you were a government reporter for the Charlotte Observer. Put on your reporter hat. How does this sit with you, all this secrecy surrounding a public person in a public taxpayer-funded organization?
So, Mike, I think our board has been transparent. I think there are some
they
things.
Have?
I think there are some things that they have to do, and they have to follow the law.
Is there a law about not interviewing potential candidates in public?
I don't believe there's a law that exists. So if the board chooses to go that route, I think there are pros and cons to any different process you would look at. I certainly think you have to, you know, if you're looking at bringing in someone from the outside, you've got to think about potential impact on that candidate's employer if you make that candidate public. So I think there are pros and cons to every process.
So you sent out a message to the public after your appointment to acting superintendent in which you asked, how will we move forward together? In your answer, you talked about teaching and learning and graduating the class of 2020 from clean, safe schools with more support for students than ever and with well-prepared teachers, etc. How can we move forward together if we aren't being included in the reasons for change?
Well, I will tell you that just speaking from my leadership style, I am a very collaborative and transparent person. So I think you will see some things will be different from what people may be accustomed to. I'm just a different person. I have a different leadership style. Very much a collaborator, and transparency is important to me. So I think those are some things that people can come to expect.
How is your style different from Clayton Wilcox or Ann Clark or who came before Ann? Heath Morrison. How is your style different?
Well, we're all different. We're all different because we're different people. I am a non-traditional educator, if you will. I did not come up through the ranks of education, so I think I bring a different, unique perspective, and I think that's actually a good thing. I do have the ability to see things from a parent perspective. In this district, I have two young children in the district, and I actually, my family just grew. I had now have 148,000 plus other kids.
I was getting ready to say, right, is there news?
Well, that would certainly be news to my wife, but...
people will do anything to distract from the issue.
So let me ask you this. Do you want this job? Would you apply for this job? Will you apply for this job? Would you take it if they just said, we don't want to do this search? We've already spent $30,000 on a consulting firm to do damage control. Why spend another $30,000 to do a search? You're our guy. Would you take it?
Mike, here's what I would say. I care about this district with all of my heart. I've spent the past 15 years in Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools. I want to see it succeed. If that is me at the helm, or if that is someone else, I want what's best for this school district. And so I will leave that decision up to the board. At the present time, I've got to worry about making sure schools open on time and that we've got everything in place. So I'm focused. I've got a laser-like focus on opening the schools, and that's where my energies are right now and making sure that we move forward with our current strategic plan with the team
we have in place. I've heard that before. Ross Dennis.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Acting Superintendent Ernest. How many teacher openings are there? How many administrative openings are there? We have school in 5 weeks. Are we going to have a great teacher in every classroom and a great principal in every school?
So we're actually, great question, Ross. We're actually at an all-time low when it comes to teacher vacancies. We've got just under 30 teacher vacancies.
Wow.
We have four schools currently that do not have a permanent principal in place. You will probably see recommendations coming forward at the school board meeting tomorrow night to fill some of those vacancies. We are expecting to have a driver on every bus come August the 26th. So while we still have a lot of work to do, I think we're moving forward and we're making tremendous progress.
The team that you have in place that we've been talking about, it's a great team. It's a great team. We hear that a lot. Would you say the same is true for HR?
Well, here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm doing because I don't have the opportunity at this very moment to speak about every department in the district. But what I will tell you that I am
because, excuse me, because you don't know, because you haven't been in a position to know, or because you can't?
Well, not because – so here's the answer. I, for the last several years, have been our chief engagement officer. And so it was not incumbent upon me
right.
to know about the day-to-day status of other operations. But what I will tell you, Ross, is that I will be looking under the hood. I will be assessing things, as I think any acting superintendent would want to do. And so here's the most important thing to me. You hear people talk about it's important to have the right people on the bus. I think it's not only important to have the right people on the bus, but it's important to have the right people in the right seats.
The next superintendent, Ross Dennis, will be the sixth in 10 years if you don't count the interim superintendents. What message is that sending to potential candidates for this job?
I suspect, I mean, it's pretty obvious if I were in a position and I was thinking about leaving, I'd think twice about coming to Charlotte, frankly.
Well, let me ask you that. I don't know how closely you have to work with the board or whether or not you feel comfortable answering this question. And if you don't, you don't have to answer it. Should the board resign?
Oh, I'm not going to go anywhere near that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, does this speak? Yeah. What you're telling me is that the problem is with the board. Is the problem with the board?
The Board of Education hired this superintendent and
the last one.
So I have a friend. He's been married a few times, and he keeps blaming his ex-wife. And sometimes I wonder. I went to say, maybe you should take a look at yourself.
In surveys that your organization conducted last time, and I think you referred to this earlier, that the people told you, parents told you, they wanted somebody who supported teachers, children, and learning, and who was skillful at managing change and a good and decent person. From what you know, is that what we got in Clayton Wilcox?
That's certainly what I saw.
Okay. Let me share with you some tweets and emails that have come in while we've been talking. Jimmy on Twitter, the school board here hasn't had it together for quite a while now. They obviously know very little about vetting candidates that can effectively delegate to underlings that were also properly vetted. Five supers in 10 years is a top-down problem. Voters really need to pay attention. Tim on Twitter, the changes in leadership are just symptoms of massive systemic faults. It's easy to blame, hard to admit, and fix. Dave on Twitter, in response to the question on whether confidence in CMS has wavered, is this a question assuming I had confidence in CMS to begin with? This is business as usual, so no change for me. And Tony on Twitter writes, very disappointed in CMS, no transparency and obfuscation from the school board when it comes to the safety of our kids. Absolutely unacceptable. Go ahead.
So last week I went to the teacher job fair and I asked potential candidates with the uncertainty of leadership, does that make a difference in you choosing to work for CMS? And, the answer that I got from the majority of them is that they are more interested in making sure that they have a good, effective principal than they have as a superintendent. Because if you ask parents who have been the last six superintendents in the past 10 years, they probably could not answer. But if you ask them, who was your child's favorite teacher, they would be able to answer that question. So I just wanted to put that out there, the weight in the superintendent. Of course, it is an important position, but I think the more important position is that who is in front of little Johnny and little Susie every day,
and
making sure they know the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s.
I talked to a couple this weekend, too, and they I was surprised, brought up the fingerprinting issue, saying that if you're putting somebody in front of the children, they should have had that done.
We haven't talked about that, sources, but that's one of the things that perhaps led policy. To this. We just don't know, and we probably never will.
Well, sources tell us that the fingerprinting did have an issue in this decision. So, and if you don't follow the policy, you have to suffer
consequences. Edric Russell from WBTV News, Gwendolyn Glenn from WFAE News, Ernest Winston, acting CMS superintendent. Thank you all.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to Mazda's focus to ensure every element of a car is designed around the driver. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.